Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Can and bottle redemption regulations may be revisited at the next session of the Iowa Legislature. What are the implications? Let's go in depth with Sherry Cunningham, owner of the Pella Can and Bottle Redemption Center. Sherry, how long have you been in the recycling business, bottle and can recycling?
On January 1st of 2021 will be my 20th anniversary of owning the Redemption Center here in Pella.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a really busy place. It's, you know, you've got how many employees?
Right now I have 14 employees, and I could probably use four or five more.
Okay, and you've got, I don't know, just in the time we've been here, there's been, I don't know, five or six customers coming through carrying bags, and this is all part of the bottle bill. When did that start? 1980? Is that?
Yeah, I think 79, right in there. Yes, right, definitely. About 40 years ago.
Okay, and so then when we go to this store, we put a deposit on bottles and cans.
Yes.
All right, and then that keeps, I remember when I was a kid, all the litter all over the roads, the bottles and cans all over the road, mainly bottles back then. But that was to stop that. That was part of a cleanup program, but then also part of our awareness that we need to protect our natural resources and recycle.
Yes. Yes. Bottle Bill was initially set up as a land beautification program, not necessarily a recycling program. So it was set up and designed to keep the roadways, the waterways clean of, you know, bottles, cans, glass. So definitely.
And so how much do you process a year?
This year, actually, I reached $1 million, which is 17 million containers up to December 1st. That's how many containers that I have began the recycling process for. So I bought them for my customers, paid them a nickel, and then I have passed them on to the specific distributors who are required by law to recycle those containers.
Okay, and so the deposit now is a nickel.
Yes.
How far around do you get cans and bottles?
Actually, yesterday I have a gentleman that drove from Perry, which is 70 miles west of here. I have a fundraising group, the Fairfield Band, the high school band, drives from Fairfield, which is 70 miles that way. We drive as far away as Sheraton. We have a customer that meets us there from Leon, and we go to Mitchellville, Grinnell, Oskaloosa. So I say if you take Pella and you just draw a circle 70 to 80 miles around us, we get customers that far away. Either we will drive that far or they will come this far to work with us here.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Sherry Cunningham, owner of the Pella Can and Bottle Redemption Center. When we were wandering around and back and you were showing me around, I saw bins with different organizations on them. You know, I saw like dance teams, I saw the Pella Wrestling, I saw Forte, I saw COC, Knoxville.
SOS. And Freedom for Youth in Knoxville. Yes, I work with at least 50 different fundraising organizations. Those are the ones that I know that I actually write a check to or I physically pay them. We also work with the Sheraton Humane Society, so they drive up. So these are definite groups that I know that I work with. They drop off, we count their stuff, I pay them money. I also have people that come through the front door, their kids are going on a band trip or New York City or Washington, D.C. seems to be popular. I have stuff like that. Or, you know, I've had people fundraise for weddings and funerals. I have one of those on the same day, a wedding and a funeral. So we get a plethora of people. I also have people, honestly, and that makes me emotional, that bring cans in for food. And that's heartbreaking to me. That. And I have a little lady in particular that comes in every week, and she brings 300 cans. And when March hit and they shut down the told all the grocery stores that they could close and redemption centers they could close, I chose not to close. The CDC called recycling and can redemption an essential service, and so I chose not to close. Within 3 days of me making that decision, this little lady came in, and, you know, I saw her every week. She looks just like you and I, and I didn't think anything of it, and so I started talking to her, and she profusely thanked me for being open, and I was like, you know, you're welcome. It's part of what I do. And then she began to tell me her story about how she's retired and her husband passed away, and she has heart problems. And she has to take medicine for that. So these 300 and some cans or 400 that she gets every week that she brings in helps buy her groceries for the week. And she said that if I wasn't open, she didn't know what she would do. You know, it just crazy. It breaks your heart that you have people like that. And, you know, but it's good to know that they can have a way to get money. And that's the same with these 50 organizations that I work with. If we were to get rid of the bottle bill, where are these groups going to go for this money? This year, I will have given out about $150,000 to different groups, charities, individuals who are raising money for anything, like you said, to, you know, a lot of them are for kids, you know, Creation Station, Boy Scouts, the shooting team, you know, Ankeny High School dance team drove from Ankeny down here because they couldn't find a redemption center during, you know, the shutdown. So it's incredible how many groups, JDRF, you know, national groups, small groups that we help raise money for. And in Indianola, I have the ICU Church Youth Group. They drive over every couple of weeks to drop off cans for their youth. So we do a lot with kids. A lot of our programs go to kids. So it's very important to me that we keep the can law. You know, we're fighting really hard right now. And next year it's going to be crazy when the legislative season opens. They are fighting hard this year to get rid of the bottle bill. They don't want it in the grocery stores, which I understand, you know. But, you know, just the amount of fundraisers, the recycling process, the decrease in the amount of recycling that will happen is immense. And getting rid of the bottle bill will be like going backwards. You know, they're making them in other states and other countries. They're making bottle bills because, you know, there's oceans full of plastic. And here in Iowa, we have the program and the means and the ways to recycle and keep it out of the lands, you know, and we're looking to get rid of it because somebody doesn't want it. They don't want to have to deal with it. So it's sad that it's a battle every year that I've fought for 20 years. Every year I battle that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sherry Cunningham, owner of the Pella Can and Bottle Redemption Center. Well, I understand why the grocery stores or the convenience stores might not want to deal with it. However, that doesn't mean you need to get rid of the bottle bill.
Exactly.
You could still do all that you do if the grocery stores, convenience stores didn't have to process it. In fact, it would help your business. It would probably help all these nonprofits that come to you for help, too.
Definitely. In Pella, I have worked really well with my grocery stores. We work hand in hand. you know, they have an agreement with the Hy-Vee store that they don't have to take them, so they send their customers down here because I'm within so many miles from them. So, you know, if a grocery store has a redemption center in their community, you know, work with them. It's not hard, you know, to work with them and make it so that it works out for both of you. Now, I also have Hy-Vee stores in Knoxville, Sheraton, and Oskaloosa that do not have redemption centers. So they collect the containers in there, then I go pick them up, and then I count and sort them, and then I pay them for the containers they redeem. It would be fantastic if there was a penny increase to where other redemption centers could open in those communities and they could have arrangements with them like my local Hy-Vee store has with me. But, you know, the penny has been the penny since 1979, so for 40 years it's the same profit. And, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I know how to manage my money. I have an accounting degree and I know how to do it, but for smaller redemption centers and smaller communities, it's harder with just that penny. You know, the penny would, adding a penny, so making it a 2 cent handling fee would double our profit, which would take us back to in the beginning where there were, what, 150 to 160 redemption centers, and now there's less than 90 because, you know, we don't ask anybody else to run their business on the same profit they made 40 years ago, but that's what they're asking redemption centers to do, and it's sad that that's where we've come. It's all about a penny, you know, a penny. Have the distributors add another penny to our soda, you know, to our purchase price. Do you think customers are really going to notice and complain? I don't think so. You know, 40 years ago it was, what, $1 for 12 pack, and now it's $8 to $10, so adding 24 more cents on a case of pop isn't going to make that much difference to a customer, but it's going to make a huge difference for redemption centers who want to open and pay a living wage to their employees or make money for themselves.
Well, it's also going to help the environment. It's going to keep the roads prettier. I mean, all of the original things that came around with it. So if the legislature is going to tinker with the bottle bill, you want it to maybe make, let the grocery stores do what they want to do, but let the redemption centers then thrive.
Yes, I am 100% okay with the grocery stores not wanting to take them. I understand, I get that. But make it, you know, stop fighting the penny increase so that redemption centers can afford to open, so they can afford to pay people a living wage. I struggle finding people to work for $12-$13 an hour, $10 an hour. I struggle to get that. And so if, you know, if my profit doubled, just imagine how much of a pay increase I could give to each one of these hardworking people. That's huge. You know, and I could add more employees, and, you know, it would be fantastic.
Well, if you think about it, with the employees that you have, and then all the people coming and going, and all the different nonprofit groups that are doing what they're doing, this is actually a pretty big economic engine for the community, too. And then people come in here, they take that money, and they spend it in the community, I presume.
Definitely. I imagine if you stopped out and talk to any one of these people, I would say 60 to 70% of my customers, you have to imagine, I'm a different kind of business where I'm not expecting you to buy something from me, so you're paying me, I'm paying you cash. So then a lot of my customers, because they're here in Pella, will go to the Hy-Vee store 2 blocks away, they'll go up to the bakery or the meat markets. They will stop anywhere along the way. I get a lot that go to the doctor's offices here. You know, mostly the grocery store or the little stores uptown, the little shops uptown. Hey, I'm going to make a trip to Pella, but I'm going to stop at uptown. I have a lady from Altoona that works with the schools, Southeast Polk Schools, and she always comes on a Saturday to drop her stuff off, and either before she gets here or when she leaves, she's got a big bag of Yarzma goods. So, you know, not only do they come see me, but they take the money I'm giving them, which is $1 million each year, and probably a whole lot of that is going back into the community. So I sit here on the south side of Pella handing out money so people can go spend it in our community, which is fantastic for our community, actually. So, you know, it is a great thing.
And then that money turns over and over and over again.
Exactly.
And if that goes away, that's an economic hit for everybody.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so we need to talk to our legislators about this.
We definitely do.
And what do we need to tell them?
We need to tell them that utmost we want to keep the bottle bill for the reasons of, you know, recycling. If we go to curbside recycling, our recycling rates actually drop. People don't understand that a lot of times here we have a little blue container with a yellow lid. You put all your stuff in there. They take it. They sort it out. Probably 30 to 40% of that goes to the landfill because it's contaminated from something else. So you think 100% of what you put in there is actually getting recycled. That's not necessarily doing so. So your recycling rate at curbside is 50 to 60% of what gets put in there, where whatever you bring in here, 100% of it by law has to be recycled. So it's not a choice. Right now I take in 4 million glass bottles. Our local recycler does not recycle for Pella the glass, so it goes to the landfill. So say we get rid of the bottle bill, my 4 million glass bottles every year is going to start making its way to the landfill. That's a lot of glass. Right now my glass goes to a company in Des Moines that crushes it, you know, makes it into little fine glass particles, ships it to Kansas City, and Owens Corning makes insulation out of it. So you get rid of the bottle bill, you get rid of the need for clean glass because our glass is cleaner. Can Redemption products are cleaner than curbside recycling. So you get rid of the bottle bill, you know, this Owens Corning in Kansas City can use dirty glass from Kansas City. They don't want our glass. It's the same thing. So from what I understand, the 10 states that have bottle bills provide 60% of the recycling material for the entire United States. So you get rid of the bottle bill, you get rid of the cleaner recycling material. They don't need it because they can use their own dirty recycling material from their states. So it's huge. People don't think long-term about where does the recycling go. Where does the materials go? And, you know, like I said, a lot of ours get exported out of the state and made into other things. Get rid of the bottle bill, the clean glass, the clean plastic, and the clean aluminum, and, you know, they can use their own from their own state. So it's huge. Very huge.
Thanks to Sherry Cunningham for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.